Okay, in this second session of our class concerning the book of Philippians, we're going to open in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 9. In our previous session, we saw some of the background information concerning Philippians, how Paul had brought the Word of God to Philippi in his days there, in his initial visit, that two households were won to the Lord Jesus Christ, that of Lydia, the seller of purple dye, and also the household of the jailer. And there were some wonderful deliverance that came to the woman that had a spirit that fueled her fortune-telling business. And as a result, that Paul and Silas were jailed and then miraculously delivered. Wonderful chapter 16 that would have occurred somewhere in the neighborhood of about 52 AD. Well, then 10 years later, the word had grown tremendously at Philippi, and there's a specific address unique to the epistle to the Philippians addressing the leadership of the church there. It's written to all the saints in Christ Jesus, but with specific address to the bishops and deacons. There's a little lesson about Christian leadership here taught by our Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 9. It says in verse 33, "And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, 'What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?'" He had observed that his disciples had a little dispute amongst themselves, something that they were talking about, something they were disputing, and he wanted to know what it was. But, verse 34, "they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest." Isn't that something? Kind of human, isn't it? You know, which of us is going to be the greatest? You know, which of us is going to be the leader? Which of us is going to have the most responsibility? Is it going to be you, Peter? Is it going to be me, James? Is it going to be John? Who's it going to be? So they had a dispute amongst themselves of which one was going to have the most leadership responsibility. Who's going to be the greatest? "And he sat down," verse 35, "and called the 12, and said unto them, If any man desire to be first," in other words, if any one of you desires to have the most responsibility, to be first, to be the greatest, "if any of man desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." So Jesus Christ is giving his 12 apostles a little teaching, a little lesson on Christian leadership. The hallmark of Christian leadership is service. If you're going to have greater responsibility within the church, well, you need to provide greater service. Who's ever going to be the greatest, you know, the most responsible? Well, it needs to be servant of all. This is a great theme of the book of Philippians. And you can see that from the very first verse that we handled in our previous session, where it says, "Paul," Philippians chapter 1, "Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ." You know, Paul had tremendous responsibility, the most in the church, because unto him was committed the revelation of the whole administration of the grace of God. And Timothy. Timothy also was a servant, a doulos, a sold-out slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they were writing to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Specific address, unique to the book of Philippians, is an address to the overseers, which is the word bishops in Old English, and to the servants, the ones who serve in the church of God. here referred to as deacons. So there's particular address to leadership in the book of Philippians. Now, you're not going to find that in any of the other eight church epistles. And this is one of the great themes of Philippians, is that of service. Now, as we get into the epistle, once again, like all the other church epistles, it starts with the word grace. These epistles start with grace and end with grace. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace was often a greeting used among people that were Gentiles. Peace was a greeting that was often used by those of a Hebrew background, of Jews. So isn't it wonderful that this epistle starts with this greeting of grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ? Boy, when you just let some of these words dwell in you richly, like grace and peace, don't you just see the goodness of God? Our God is gracious. He gives to us wonderful good things that we don't deserve. He's also a God of peace. You know, that you get real peace of mind as you believe him, as you get to know him. Grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got grace. We've got peace with God through the wonderful work of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then verse 3 begins, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You know, let's remember, this aren't words that originated in Paul's mind. These are words of God. These are words that God gave to Paul by revelation and that Paul wrote down. But God knew, of course Paul knew, that every time he thought about the Philippians, every time, every remembrance of them, he thanked God for them. You know, what a wonderful heart of Paul towards God of thanksgiving, and also a heart of love towards the Philippian believers. But I'll tell you something, what verse 3 also speaks of is Paul's discipline of mind. Every time he thought about the Philippians, he thanked God for them. You know, he prayed for them constantly. He thanked God upon every remembrance of you. And then verse 4 continues, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with what? Joy. This is the first use of 17 in this short epistle of the word joy or its related forms, like joy or rejoicing. And it's one of the other great themes of Philippians, is joy. Here it's in the context of Paul's prayer life. Again, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. You know, what was the great service that Paul rendered to the church, top of the list of all the things that he did, it certainly was his prayer life. I've made this statement many times in this church epistles class, that what breathing is to our physical life, prayer is to our spiritual life. Look at the constancy of prayer in Paul's life. He thanked God upon every remembrance of the Philippian believers. Always in every prayer for you all, making request with joy. You know, you can't be physically in more than one place at a time, but you certainly can be spiritually. Paul had been involved in the founding of churches many, many places, all throughout Asia. Now, this is the first fellowship or church that was established in European soil, as we saw in our opening session. And Paul did visit them, you know, three times, the first one and then twice more, as we saw. But he wasn't there that often. He wasn't there that long. But he was there every day in his prayer life. He just prayed always in every prayer for you all, making request with joy. And boy, he had the great joy of believing God's word, the joy of prayer. In verse 5, and this is now gets into some of the things that he specifically prayed for. He prayed for praying for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You know, he prayed for their fellowship in the Word of God, that they would remain in fellowship with God and with each other, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And that first day we read about in Acts chapter 16, when he, you know, first won Lydia, and he just continued to pray for their fellowship in the gospel all the way until now, being confident. You know, when Paul prayed, he was confident, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Look at this. From the first day until now, and all the way until the day of Jesus Christ, which is the gathering together of the church, that God would continue to work his good work in the believers at Philippi. This was Paul's prayer for them. This was, you know, certainly God's desire, you know, that once you get the word of God, that you continue in that gospel, you know, up till now, right now, you know, staying in God's word, and that you'd stay all the way until the gathering together. Boy, what a wonderful heart for the believers. And then it says in verse 7, even as it is meet, or meet is Old English, for it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Look at the heart of the man of God towards the Philippian believers. He had them in his heart. Wherever he went, they were in his heart. In so much as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Paul's bonds refers to his imprisonment. He is now imprisoned at Rome. He's awaiting his trial before Caesar. And that trial would be the defense confirmation of the gospel, that he was prepared to share God's word, to speak God's word. You know, he certainly had nothing to be blamed for of why he was imprisoned at Rome. The reason that he was there was because of the jealousy and the anger of the Jews against him at Jerusalem and the hubbub that had followed and his appeal to Caesar. But, you know, what was in his heart? He had Even though he's in prison, he carried the Philippians believers in his heart. And it says that ye all are partakers. You all share fully of my grace. You know, he had shared the gospel of grace with them. They had gotten born again by God's grace. He was continuing to pray that they would stay in the grace of God, that they would be strong in the grace of God. Because you all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, verse 8. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Look at the love that Paul had for the Philippian believers. Look at the care, the concern. You know, he's the one that was in the very, very difficult circumstance of being in prison. But yet his heart was a heart of grace and of love and of prayer, of great desire in his innermost part of his being, represented here by his bowels, that how I greatly long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Man, look at the heart. Look at the love. Look at his great concern for their well-being and growth. In verse 9, and this I pray. Here's the prayer. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. What was his prayer? That their love would abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. The word judgment is discernment. It could be rendered spiritual awareness. This brings to mind, look at Hebrews chapter 5 for a second. Remember, Philippians has a particular address to overseers and servants. The church had been taught and known and practiced the mystery. It's based on the doctrine of Ephesians, this writing of Philippians. And so, you know, we're reading what God has written to a mature group of believers. Well, God's desire for a mature group of believers is their love will abound more and more in knowledge and spiritual awareness or discernment. This record in Hebrews chapter 5 comes to mind when it says, of whom, verse 11, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. This is addressed to the Hebrews at this time. They were a mature group of people that had been in the Word for a long time, but they had become dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful or has no experience in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat, verse 14, belongs to them that are of full age, even of those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and what? Evil. So Hebrews is contrasting those that were staying in the baby stages versus those that were mature. And a mark of a mature Christian is one who has his spiritual senses exercised to discern good and evil. You know, that we don't stay in the baby stages, that we don't get tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and cunning craftiness of men and the way that people try to deceive us, get us off of God's word. Well, this is Paul's prayer. The prayer for them is that their love would abound more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that they would have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. They were a mature group of people. This is what they should have. Verse 10, that ye may approve things which are that are excellent. This is that ye may discern things that differ, that you can come to the right judgment. When things differ, when people perhaps have different opinions or there's different doctrines that are introduced, or you know, when there's disputes or things, that you can discern what's right and wrong, that you can discern between good and evil, so that you may discern things that differ, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. This was Paul's prayer. This is a prayer for mature ones, isn't it? That's what the church at Philippi was. A group of people that have been in God's word for quite a while. This is written about 10 years after the word had first come to Philippi. The church had grown. The church had matured. There's particular address to overseers and servants. And the prayer here is that their love would abound more and more. You know, not their own opinions, not their own interests, but the love of God, you know, the love of God which is not selfish, the love of God which is kind, that would abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that ye may discern things that differ, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. What a prayer. What a heart of the man of God, Paul, towards these wonderful believers at Philippi. You know, that they would continue in the gospel, that they would continue to grow all the way until the time of the gathering together. And Paul had such care and concern for them that upon every remembrance of them, he thanked God. That he always was praying for them. He was with them spiritually. And he was very, very concerned about their continued growth and development. So that's a wonderful beginning to this epistle to the Philippians, and we will continue in our next session.